flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. Back from Philadelphia, where it didn't go so well for the boys in burgundy and gold. Good afternoon, everybody. Nice to have you with us right here on the Team 980. The Odyssey app. All throughout the DMV and, of course, all over the world. Always live and free there. We start a new week, and that means we start the off season. And Max is with us in place of Matt, at least for a couple of days here, and based on schedules and all that stuff. Max is a good dude, and we welcome him aboard, and we want him to feel comfortable, so be nice to him.
Please.
When you call, yes, please. Please don't be like all those Eagles fan dopes that I've been dealing with on Twitter.
Oh, my God. In our chat last night, it was. I really wanted to ban a bunch of people, but I thought that might be a bad look for the station, so I decided against
it. That's okay. It's all right. They can't help themselves. They're kind of, well...
Animalistic?
I was thinking about a different A word.
Sure, we could go there.
Part of which we're technically allowed to say, but that's okay. That's okay. Not all of them. Not all of them, of course. Listen, obviously we start the show with the reality is that the season literally ended in a 3-hour span yesterday, and it was less than that because the game, you know, essentially was over a minute or so into the fourth quarter, and then it just got worse and worse and worse and worse, and quickly it got worse to the point where, again, you know, as I'm sitting there and as everybody was watching the game, listening to the game here on the Team 980, on the Odyssey app via Westwood One, the Birdman on the call, Ian Eagle, Kurt Warner, everyone should have known this. When Austin Ekeler fumbles the football at the end of the third quarter, and they're driving, and the Commanders are at least in good position to be down no more than a field goal. When that happens after two previous turnovers and before a fourth turnover, when that happens, the second to last play before the fourth quarter begins, when that happens, first and 10 at the Washington 49 at midfield, they're driving! They're driving. It's 34-23. If they get a field goal, they're down by 8. A touchdown and a two-point conversion with an entire, basically an entire quarter to go. Unless it took them a really long time to stretch from midfield to get to Zane Gonzalez territory, which, you know, could possibly have happened. And the bottom line is, when Austin Ekeler fumbles that ball, and he admitted after the game to us, should have stayed down on the ground, shouldn't have gotten up, did not realize that the Eagles didn't clearly, based on any replay that I saw on the video board on Fox, maybe I missed one, maybe NFL Central Command had a different one, didn't clearly get possession of the football before Tyler Biadasz ripped it out of a pile and started running away with it. Austin Ekeler didn't even know that, or so he said. But if he doesn't fumble that football, if they maintain possession, if they score even just a field goal, and say it takes 2 more minutes of clock, you still have 13 minutes left in the game, and you're down 34-26. A touchdown and a 2-point conversion. No guarantees that you close that window. No guarantees. But being down 34-26, probably at the minimum, and again, no guarantees that he would have kicked a field goal. Although, to give credit to Zane Gonzalez, he wasn't bad yesterday. But presumably, down 34-26 with 13, 14 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, you had to feel like, hey man, we've got a chance. And who knows if they would have held on to that football if the officials weren't so over-eager to give the Eagles the football without any clear video evidence that I saw, and I don't think anybody else saw in the press box. At least, I don't know what you guys saw. Maybe it's not just 34-26. Maybe it's 34-31. If they score a touchdown and get the 2-point conversion. Or at worst, 34-29. If they score a touchdown and fail on the 2-point conversion. Or the least likely scenario, score a touchdown, kick an extra point, and still need a touchdown, meaning down 34-30. The game ended on that play. It was the third of four turnovers. The game ended on that play. Because right after that, Saquon rips off a 22-yarder. Goddard with a 9-yard catch. You know, then Jalen Hurts gets all the way down to the 1, right? And then we start penalty-a-palooza, one of the weirdest sequences you're ever going to see. And I suppose maybe if the Commanders could have forced a fumble, if they could have made a stop, maybe the game wasn't over with the Ekeler fumble, but in all reality, the game was over with the Ekeler fumble because you had to close an 11-point window with a quarter to go, and that was your chance. And before you know it, with some weird, weird-ass announcements and rules and stuff that nobody's ever heard of, before you know it, the Eagles are finally once again back in the end zone on Tush Push-A-Rama, and it's 41-23, and you're down by 18 with 12 and a half minutes left to go, and you almost feel like, hey man, as good as we've been from behind, as good as Jaden Daniels has been, you almost feel at that point down 18 with 12 and a half minutes left to go, you got no chance. I mean, it would take basically a miracle. And they've pulled off miracles, as we all know. But that's what you felt like. Now, again, maybe if they would have been able to find a way to stave off elimination by stopping the Eagles at the goal line, which they were trying to do, But once Eckler fumbles that ball upon getting up, upon the sliding catch, and fumbles it, and again, they give it very quickly, and I have no idea. Maybe I missed it, guys. I don't know. I don't see everything. My eyes are not great. And we have a terrible, terrible, terrible view in the press box. And the monitors, you know, they're running plays while the monitors are three plays behind. So you choose whether you're watching a game on television or whether you're watching a game in front of you, whatever the case might be. I did not see a clear recovery from Philadelphia. They must have, because they've got to review every turnover, right? So they must have in New York seen a clear recovery. I would hope they had some sort of evidence that I didn't see that I don't think anybody else in the press box saw. I would hope. But all I know is Tyler Biadasz came out with that ball. And I'm not one to, again, sit here and blame officiating for everything, but that sequence between Biadasz coming out with the ball on the Eckler fumble, no seemingly clear recovery, and then the fiasco, the boondoggle that happened down at the goal line with Luvu jumping over twice. Warning, we're going to unsportsmanlike conduct. Warning, you do it again. You line up offsides, which Jonathan Allen did after the Luvu two leaps. We're going to give a touchdown away. Nobody knew that rule. I've never heard that. I've been watching football for 40-plus years. I've never heard, hey, we're just going to arbitrarily award points. I understand you want to play the game. I understand you want to do it legally and clear. I got it. Some would call into question, oh, wait a second, that some would be, I don't know, everybody that's gone against the tush push, and specifically Bobby Wagner last night, saying, hey, man, you're lined up illegally. You're lined up illegally. Now, maybe that's loser talk. Maybe that's sour milk. I don't know. But, man, was it a weird sequence with a couple of plays left in the third quarter and into the fourth quarter, 2.5 minutes into the fourth quarter, along with the fumble, along with the touchdown by Hurts, that ended the Commanders' season. They never got up. They never bounced back. As a matter of fact, it only got worse. They had another turnover, and Philadelphia scored another two touchdowns and won 55-23. Listen, the final score is not, I don't believe it's not indicative of the game. I can't say how close the game was. It was close at times. Like, at nothing-nothing, it was close, right? Ba-dum-bum. At 3-0 Washington, it was close, obviously. Even at 7-3 on a disaster, it was close. 14-6, and then all of a sudden 14-12 on the Terry slant touchdown run, broken tackle. It was close. Once again, I'm thinking with a 1:45 left in the first half, man, you're only down 20-12 with everything that's gone wrong. And Jeremy McNichols fumbles the kickoff. And they quickly turn it around on a touchdown because Marshon Lattimore is hot and heavy and involved with A.J. Brown. A whole separate deal, which we'll get to. Mikey Sanders still hits Saquon Barkley out of bounds late. And before you know it, just when you thought you're getting out of Dodge, down 20-12 at the half, and with the ball and a 1:45-ish left, you think, well, maybe we could tie this up. Maybe we could get a field goal, and it's 20-16. All of a sudden, you're down 27-12. Every time it felt like the Commanders made a little bit of progress, 3-0 on a long drive to start the game. Boom! 7-3. Gut punch. Down 14-12. Don't get the two-point conversion. Boom! Jalen Hurts, one-yard touchdown run on a 72-yard drive, which that was the drive that I included the 4th and 5. Go for it. Beautiful pass down the sideline to A.J. Brown in stride. Perfect location, perfect throw, perfect everything, beating Marshon Lattimore. Every time you thought, oh, it's 20-12. We got the ball. 1:45. Plenty of time for Jaden to operate. And, oh, by the way, he did actually operate, right? He had the 19-yard run after, and then the field goal after the touchdown. So again, McNichols fumbles with a buck, I guess it was like a buck 40 or so left in the second, in the first half, second quarter. And literally a minute later, A.J. Brown is going in on a square out against Sandristil for the touchdown after the late hit, so on and so forth. And it's 27-12, right? And then they still get the field goal. Jaden rips off a 19-yard run. They still get the field goal to make it 27-15. And you're still like, they're only down by 12. That was a disaster. That sucked. But they're only down by 12. Still got 30 minutes of football to play. And then they come out and immediately go three and out and allow another rushing touchdown, a 9-yard scamper from Jalen Hurts. That was the one where the center, who wasn't supposed to play, who was supposed to be inactive, who wasn't supposed to play, who was hobbling around, bad back, Cam Jurgens, you thought you were going to get a break there. Instead, as it turns out, Landon Nickerson goes from guard to center. He can hardly move. His knee is all bleeped up. They don't have Nick Gates active. They bring in, again, Cam Jurgens, who replaced Kelsey, who had a great year, who wasn't supposed to play. Then he was going to play. Then he was active. Then he wasn't supposed to play. Blah, 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 blah. Great lead block. And again, before you know it, it's 34-15, and you think, okay, we're done. Stick a fork in them. Midway through the third quarter, they're done. Even though there's still plenty of football, and we should not count this team out, 34-15, And then all of a sudden, boom, 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 against a soft take-it-away defense, or don't give it away, I should say, defense. And then Jaden makes, on a little speed toss, set up to the right, which we've seen a number of times, Jaden takes and cuts and makes somebody miss and runs it in for 10 yards. And all of a sudden you're like, okay, maybe they're not dead yet, down 34-23. Then they get a stop, and then the Eckler fumble. Every time it seemed like the Commanders closed the door a little bit, every time the Commanders, maybe they gave themselves a chance, it pretty much quickly fell apart. There was just one mistake after another, after another, after another, after another, that kept opening that door wide open. And again, when I say the score not really indicative, guys, they scored 21 points after the Eckler fumble. Now, seven of those points on the tush-push fiasco. Again, the game was still somewhat in the balance, so I can't say, well, that didn't count, that didn't matter, the game was over. That's not true. That officially ended it. But then the extra 14 points, not that it really matters, but the extra 14 points, who cares? So, I mean, while America's going to say, well, the Commanders got blown out, they did. Well, the Commanders were embarrassed. They were run off the floor at Lincoln Financial Field. I don't feel that way. Like, I know the final score tells us that. If you watch the game, if you understand football, if you're at the game, many of you were. Many of you then watched it. I don't feel like they were beat. They were not the better team. They screwed themselves. I do not feel like they were absolutely, in reality, completely demolished. I think they served up on a freaking golden platter. What they served up, I got it. But I don't think they were just manhandled, outclassed in the classic sense. I know they were beat. I know they were not the better team. I know that the Eagles were significantly better. Nobody's saying that. But let's not operate like it was a true 32-point blowout. At least that's the way I take it. I don't know how you guys take it. You can tell me at 301-230-0980. And does it matter? Because, I mean, if they won 41-23, like, would anybody be less pissed? Would anybody be less crushed, less upset? Probably not. but maybe the optics would look a little bit better. Does it matter? 301-230-0980. That's big picture takeaway back from Philadelphia in a wild weekend. And unfortunately, there's no Super Bowl 59 for the Commanders. Maybe next year we'll have plenty of time to discuss that throughout the week. But there is no Super Bowl 59. It's the Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. And I don't know who everybody's going to root for. But, I mean, if you're a Commanders fan, I find it hard to believe you're rooting for the Eagles. But then I also understand that everybody's tired of Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and the Kansas City Chiefs. More to come right here on a, well, not a victory Monday. On an end-of-the-season Monday here in Washington, the Commanders losing the NFC Championship game to the Philadelphia Eagles right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Oh, look at Max spinning the Motown tunes. Attaboy. Be nice to him. Welcome him aboard to the show. Don't know what we're doing permanently moving forward, but Max is here today, so be nice to him. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, and be nice to me while you're at it. I didn't get back from Philadelphia until about 12:30 in the morning, which is not that bad, I guess, because the game started at 3. Obviously, if it was a 6:30 game, it would have been a lot later than that.
You made better time than me. I didn't get home till 12:45.
You were at the game?
No, I was here.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. You know what? I was listening to you and Earl after I dropped Grant. After I dropped Grant Paulson off, Grant and I drove back from Philadelphia. We went up separately on Saturday. I picked him up at his hotel. It was a If you think the fourth quarter was a complete poop show for the Commanders, you should have seen my commute from my hotel near the Philadelphia airport to go get Grant at his hotel in Center City-ish area. I wound up here. Here's just a hint. I wound up in Camden, New Jersey. I took a wrong turn because my GPS told me to do so. The Commanders wound up in Camden, New Jersey last night.
Oh, man. That's...
But I was listening to you and the Force of Earl last night, which I wasn't aware that we were doing that. But so that was good. I was able to listen to a little local sports talk, wrap up, and it seemed pretty therapeutic and all that stuff.
That it was.
And hopefully, obviously, we will do so. Listen, we will reminisce about the season starting tomorrow with the DOC. Today is about what happened last night and what didn't happen. Of course, we all understand that you might want to take the positive spin and say, hey, listen, yesterday sucked. The future is bright. Got it. Understood. But we don't want to spend a lot of time, really any time today, debating free agents or the 29th pick in the draft or, you know, whether they're going to be here next year or not. That's for later on this week. Today is about what happened last night. So let's get you guys aboard before we get to a trending alert right here, right now at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Jonesy in the leadoff spot here before 1:30. What up, Jonesy? How are you?
Hey, Chris, Russell, WrestleMania, man. I'm in the leadoff spot. I know it's a special day today. Check this out, man. Yesterday, one, the defense, they tried, but they didn't have enough juice in the tank, man, to deal with what we dealt with yesterday with Saquon. But you cannot win with the turnovers. That's the one thing that I know we spent a lot of time last week talking about. You can't go in there because the last time was 5 turnovers and we won. Well, this is not go around, it's 4 turnovers and we lost. We knew we couldn't go in there with that, and we did it anyway. And we did it at the darndest time. A couple of them on our own side of the field cannot fumble the ball deep on our own side of the field because what? They're going to come along, they're going to capitalize, and yes, they ran the ball down. was. I'm not going to sit up there and say we weren't prepared. We gave it a shot, and it just didn't work out well for us. The turnovers is the thing that killed us. It's one thing to say they beat us, but you have to look at this thing closely and say, no, we beat us more. Can't do that and expect to win.
Yeah.
All I have to say, Chris, because I know you got other calls, and we'll be back at this thing again. But we're here to stay, baby. I'm out.
Appreciate you, Jonesy. Good, strong call to get us going here in the leadoff spot. Before we get to any more calls, we're going to take a break. We'll get the trending alert in, and then it's right back to you, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Clearly the turnovers, huge problem. Clearly the run defense, huge problem. Again, for those of you that want to rub it in my face that I screamed about DVOA all year, listen, yes, I've screamed about DVOA. I've screamed about media people, including colleagues of mine, living and dying by DVOA like it was anything and everything. When I tried to tell you over and over and over again, yes, this team is not good at stopping the run. Duh. Everything told us that. What they weren't doing is getting completely dominated in every way, shape, or form throughout the entire game and giving up big plays. And yesterday they gave up the big run, obviously, to Barkley. And then on top of that, they gave up the big fourth down. Then on top of that, they made a stupid personal foul. Then on top of that, they had a defensive pass interference in the end zone. Then on top of that, they allowed 6 rushing touchdowns. And then on top of that, the turnovers. So don't give me this bull crap about DVOA and I told you so, because no, you didn't tell me so. My criticism of DVOA is not that DVOA doesn't tell us anything. It's just those that live by it and don't pay attention to, hey, you know what? They made a couple of good and really important defensive stops, as they did all year. Yesterday, they made one. They didn't make any more than that. All right, time for a trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. But the Commanders' season, as we mentioned, comes to an end. Players cleaning out their lockers today. Exit meetings, Dan Quinn, Adam Peters going to speak at 5 o'clock. So I don't know if we're going to hear anything conclusive or earth-shattering in that, but certainly a final time from them until the Combine in late February, as the Commanders play until late January, but see their season come to an end yesterday in Philadelphia. Who's going to the Super Bowl, a rematch from just a couple of years ago, once again with their former head coach, Andy Reid, once again Patrick Mahomes, once again the Kansas City Chiefs, who outlast the Buffalo Bills in the AFC Championship game, 32-29. And that's what's trending right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, good to have you with us on this Motown Monday as we wrap up the NFC Championship and therefore the season. Again, we'll do a lot of look ahead. Starting later on, you want to mention a brief thing about how proud you are of the team, all that stuff, looking fine. This is more about yesterday and more about what didn't happen, what happened, and there's so much that actually happened. I'm constantly reminded every time I look at the box score, every time I look at a highlight, every time I look, oh, yeah, that's right. I got to mention that. I think I touched on most of the big bullet points. They were in this game for 3 quarters. They were not good enough for those 3 quarters. They made a bleep ton of mistakes. It could have been worse. But they were in this game for 3 quarters into the 4th. And then it completely fell apart. If you're into semantics, it's not like they were annihilated, dominated from the get-go. They weren't the better team from the get-go. I'm not saying that. There is a difference. They were not annihilated, dominated, and blown out from word one. They weren't. That doesn't help them, but it's not like, I'm trying to think. Max, you know the game Monopoly?
Quite familiar, yeah.
All right. So the most expensive piece of real estate on the board is what?
That'll be Boardwalk, right?
Yes, correct. The cheapest piece of property, if I'm remembering correctly, is Baltic Avenue?
That sounds right.
Somewhere in that range. Maybe that's the second cheapest. Somewhere around that. But I believe it's Baltic Avenue. It's been a long time since I played Monopoly. But the point being is, it's not like the Philadelphia Eagles were Boardwalk and the Commanders were all the way at the other aisle. And really, if I'm remembering right, Baltic is, you know, just past Go, and it's not that far away from Boardwalk, but anyone that knows the game Monopoly knows it's the furthest damn thing from Monopoly, okay? I mean, from Boardwalk, right? There's a difference, okay? I don't believe the difference was that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't believe the difference was that.
No, it definitely wasn't that. I would say more, let's say Pennsylvania Avenue versus Boardwalk.
Like, all right.
It was high level, but it was just behind, you
yeah.
know?
What, I'm trying to think. Before Marvin Gardens and all those yellow properties on the top of the board,
mm-hmm.
was it Illinois Avenue or something like that? I can't remember.
Illinois, Indiana, and Kentucky.
Okay, there you go.
Good job, Brewster.
I'm thinking it was like Boardwalk, Eagles,
mm-hmm.
Illinois, Indiana, and Kentucky, you said?
Yes.
The red properties,
red
right, at the top
parking.
Of the board.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that.
Yeah.
Now, that's not good enough.
Correct.
That's not good enough. But I'm not thinking it was Boardwalk to Baltic Avenue, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I absolutely get what you're saying.
Now, again, that does not win you an NFC championship.
For sure.
It is not good enough. It needs to be better. But the point being is, if you can take some solace in what happened yesterday, know that your team was not good enough, but was competitive, was feisty. I heard somebody call in Coach Sheehan on the way in and said Dan Quinn did a terrible job preparing them. They were unprepared. No. Guys, they converted on 2 fourth downs on the first series of the game. They kicked a field goal. They took a 3-0 lead. They held onto the ball for 7-0. Jaden, I thought, was really sharp on that drive, accurate. I don't think Jaden was, like, great, great yesterday. As a matter of fact, I had a pretty strong debate at halftime. Halftime, when the game was still very much in the balance, with Michael Phillips of the Richmonder and, of course, 910 The Fan in Richmond, our Odyssey station, and you can hear Michael from 10 to noon. Maybe we got to get Michael on the horn. I want to examine this. I'll give him a text, see if he can pop on. I had J.P. Finley walked over, Mitch Tischler walked over, Ben Standig walked over, Mike Jones walked over, all guys that have covered this team on a day-in, day-out basis. Some guys have moved on, national, whatever, Jones, and so on and so forth.
Meeting of the minds.
And I said, Jaden was fine in the first half. He was fine. I didn't think he was great. He, under pressure, he underthrew the long one to Eckler. He overthrew badly a long one to McLaurin. He was high on one to Zach Ertz that went off of Zach Ertz's hand. He was low on several. He was harassed. I think, you know, he had the 19-yard run there at the end of the half. He had the slant touchdown to Terry. That's more Terry than Jaden. I thought Jaden was fine. And I said, you know, kind of almost innocuously, it was fine. It's, you know, fine, good, whatever. And we had, like, Phillips thought he was great. And I didn't see it. And JP thought he was great. Finley thought he was great. And I didn't see that. I thought he was fine. And everyone else, Standig, Mike Jones, in a word, describe what Jaden Daniels was in the first half. It was fine. You know, I think somebody used fairly good. If you draw a line of distinction between fine and good, okay. If you don't, you don't. But he wasn't great. I can't say he was great. He was the least of their problems, but he wasn't great. He didn't put on his Superman cape yesterday. Even on that one touchdown drive in the third quarter, I thought it was more because Philadelphia is trying to take away anything over the top and let, you know, because they have a pretty big lead. Anyway, wanted to get that off my chest before I forget. All right, let's get back to more of your calls. Let's go to Steve in Columbia right here on the Team 980. Steve, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Doing good, Steve. What's going on?
Okay, I'll just say this. It's a talent issue. especially in the interior on both sides of the ball. I thought we played well, about as good as we could. We squeezed as much as we could. The coaches did as much as they could to get the players in the best position to win. But against the Eagles, we just need to get bigger, stronger, and faster, specifically on the interior of the offensive line, interior of the defensive line, and an edge rusher, mm-hmm. a linebacker who has some speed and can cover, like the linebacker that the Eagles have.
I forget his Zach name, Bond.
That made all
Zach Bond. Yeah.
And we need a T. Higgins, and we need like a running back, a combo back, Bijan Robinson, DeMarcus, somebody like that.
I got you, Steve. I wanted to more delay like what they need and whatever for later on in the week, because those are all fair points. But I understand your point yesterday. The first and main point you made that I took is they were dominated at the line of scrimmage, right? They couldn't run the ball, one. Two, first play of the game, I think it was a combination of Biotis and Trent Scott, if I remember correctly, blown apart, Jaden under heavy pressure. Then late in the game, Brandon Coleman gives up a big sack. There were times where one play, Nick Allegretti got driven back by I think it was Jalen Carter from Philadelphia to like Atlantic City. I mean, there's no doubt that they have to get better and quickly along the line of scrimmage. Not that games are absolutely and always won by the best offensive line and the best defensive line. However, as has been proven true in Philadelphia, because Howie Roseman has heavily invested in both, you are going to win a lot more than you're going to lose. Not all the time.
Right.
You're going to win a lot more than you lose when you heavily invest in the offensive and defensive line. So that will be a top priority. Let me let you run, because I just want to move on. I want to keep it more to the game yesterday, and then we'll worry about the offseason starting tomorrow. All right, let's get one more in here. Let's see here. Lap is in D.C. What up, Lap? How are you? Lappy. All right, Lap's not. Oop. Sorry, Lap, call back. I didn't think you were paying attention, so I kind of cut you loose there. Let's go to, I'm having a hard time reading the screen. I don't know why.
It's bright. There's a lot of sun that gets into these rooms.
Is that Frank in Upper Marlboro? I believe it is.
Correct.
Frank, how are you?
All right, man. I'm all right. Look, man, one thing about yesterday's game, I'm going to have to look past that, because at the beginning of the season, you had the commentators and you had the analysts telling us we wasn't going to win but four games.
Mm-hmm.
We were one game away from the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Man, we did great. Yep. I'm not even thinking about next year, because like you said, we're going to get into that later on. But, man, we had a hell of a ride.
Yeah.
It was a hell of a ride.
Well, let me jump in with you right here. Remember when Vegas, which a lot of people put a lot of stock in, if you know anything about this show, we don't put any stock in it.
Right.
They said 6.5 wins, right? And no, they're not saying they're only going to win. Of course, that's dumb. Nobody can win 6.5 games. But that was the over-under, right? And when they put out an over-under, they're saying, hey, man, we think they're going to win around 6.5 games. Do you think they're going to go over? Do you think they're going to go under? And we're just going to squeeze the life out of everybody that's wrong and whatever. So if you say that, right, and then you look and say, wait a second, they won 12 regular season games, two postseason games. That's, count it with me, 12 plus 2 is 14. It just goes to show you that preseason prognostications, all of the analysts, including me, and certainly including Vegas, no diddly poo. Know nothing.
Right. Didn't know nothing. And we proved all of them wrong. We are a up-and-coming team. This coming season, you got a lot of free agents going around, and they're going to want to be on a winning team.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to want to play with Jaden Daniels, no doubt.
What are you talking about, man?
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
No doubt.
We're going to have a lot of help next year.
And the Commanders are going to be everybody's I think they're going to be, everybody, but they are going to be a lot of people's preseason, at least NFC pick, if not Chick Super Bowl pick, or popular Super Bowl pick, which I'd almost rather, excuse me, that they're not. But so I'm hoping that people turn away. But I have a feeling that everybody's going to be not a feeling. I just know everybody's going to be overhyping the Commanders, and they're going to have to buckle down, and they're going to have the same brotherhood and the same mental tenacity that they did this year. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you, Frank. Let you run on that. 301-230-0980. More of your calls coming up right here on the Team 980, always live and free on the Odyssey app. Stay with us. All right, let's grab one more here before the top of the hour, and then we'll get to all the rest of your calls on the other side. Jay Gruden scheduled at 3 o'clock. As we clean up the carnage from yesterday's NFC Championship game, let's get to Mike in Mount Airy, and we'll say hello to him on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Mike, how are you? Good afternoon.
Hey, good, sir. How you doing?
Thanks doing good, Mike.
My call.
Yeah, thanks for making it.
Hey, good. Hey, I just want to say, hey, I'm, you know, lifelong Commanders fan. Very proud of how the season went, and even in the loss. Just want to give some love to Tressway, that fake punt. I think it was a great call.
Yeah.
Would definitely love to see more Ben Sennett.
You know, think about that before you go on with the rest of your call. Think about how ballsy that call was. Think about how ballsy that call was, because I'm trying to look up in my notes. I remember thinking, you know, at the time here, let me just pull it up real quickly. It was, 24-yard bomb, whatever. They got the field goal after, but it was it 14-3 at that point? I think it was 14-3. I want to double-check that. I think it was 14-3, but I want to double-check that. If they don't connect on that, they turn the ball over to Philadelphia at they're at Washington's 30, and they haven't been able to stop Philadelphia just yet at that. It was 14-3 at that point. So think about the grapefruits required on that call. Now, if it didn't work out, people would be irate and furious that Dan Quinn made that call, but that's the difference between a play working out and a play not working out.
Of course. And as far as Jaden, you know, thrill of victory, he had a lot of victories this year. And great rookie year, but the agony of defeat. And I'll just say the silver lining for me takeaway is that taste of that defeat and his work ethic. Oh, he's going to add that to his arsenal. And I think make him that much better. That taste. So, again, just, you know, thankful how the team did. And, that's it. Just wanted to,
I appreciate that. Yeah, no, thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. We hadn't brought up the fake punt yet, but again, it worked. Now, if they don't execute that, and Tressway almost overthrew Ben Sinnott, if that doesn't work, and then Philadelphia turns that around and scores, which they almost arguably would have. Again, they were turning the ball over at Washington's 30-yard line down 14-3. The game could have been a blowout from the, you know, essentially from the start. The real problem was when they were down 14-3, they went 3-and-out. Again, nobody needs to be overly critical of anything other. This is a, hey, man, they had a great season. They were ultimately overmatched in their biggest game of the season, and it was arguably their, well, maybe not arguably, it was their worst loss of the season. But the bottom line is, you know, I think, and it sounds like you guys are in an agreement, and I listened to a lot of Sheehan this morning, that as good as this season was, everybody understands that there was a little bit of pixie dust here. A little bit. That a lot of work still needs to be done. And I think that's fair. And again, we'll nothing but time to talk about that. They have like 23 free agents. And there were so many free agents, I kept tweeting the free agents and kept forgetting key free agents because of how many key free agents they have. 301-230-0980, end of hour number one. We'll keep it going on the phones. We'll get to Jason and Laurel. We'll get to Sean. We'll get to Mark and Chevy Chase. We'll get to Lou in D.C. Got two open lines for you. Hit it up, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.